This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. As the COVID-19 pandemic and its associated restrictions ease, many of us are returning to our old offices for the first time in ages. But those offices may be different than they were before, and new office spaces and buildings could also experience a new approach to layout and function. Additionally, a lot of us may need some time before we're fully comfortable in an environment of workplace socialization after a year or more of working in isolation. I spoke earlier with a local panel of experts. Here is our pre-recorded conversation. Joining us now is Dan Sink, CEO of Corporex. Dan, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Also
appreciate
with us.
You us.
Absolutely. Also with us is Emma Atkison, Principal and Director of Design at PCA Architecture. Emma, thanks to you as well.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Our pleasure. Robin Throckmorton is President at Strategic HR and also joins us via Zoom. Robin, our pleasure to have you also.
Oh, thank you. It's a great group. We're looking forward to the conversation.
For sure. And I want to note that this was a conversation that was originally hosted by the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce as part of their Eggs and Issues series. So we are grateful to the Chamber for allowing us to piggyback off of this important conversation. Dan, I know Corporex creates and manages a lot of real estate, particularly office space. And there's been a lot of concern about commercial office space after the pandemic. Just give us your sense of where the market is right now and what you expect to see as the pandemic starts to ease here.
No, and that it has, you know, you read a lot about concerns and really it's just the unknown of how the remote work, process is going to affect office leasing. You know, in the fourth quarter of last year, we signed about 180,000 square feet in and around the Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati markets. And, you know, we continue to see a lot of activity, you know, even into this year. We've got, you know, like, give an example, six tenants in our building here at River Center that are expanding, and they're in the areas of, you know, placement, logistics, legal, hotel management, et cetera. So we're seeing a lot of activity here. I think if you look in someplace like our Denver market, it was very slow last year. There was a lot of sublease space coming back onto the market. But again, we're seeing recently, you know, some pickup there in the office space we have out in the Denver market.
And what are you hearing from some of these business owners as they search for space? Are they just anticipating that there is going to be a sense of that so-called normal again?
Yeah, I think they are. One thing, you know, about office space, I think some of the space was too crowded, maybe originally before COVID. So now we've got some folks looking at the space, the size of the space may not change, but the configuration is going to change because you're going to have a little more social distancing. You're going to have, you know, some different things within the space, flexible meeting rooms, maybe some split out conference areas so that people can go in and feel like they're away from folks, because I think people are going to be focused on the social distancing as they come back. So I think that's a key thing they've been looking for, you know, some indoor air quality, as well as touchless technology or some other items that have been important to folks we've been talking to.
Maybe that's something Emma Atkison can help us understand. She is Principal and Director of Design at PCA Architecture. Emma, how has this pandemic disrupted the way offices might be configured?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And a lot of businesses are struggling with this right now. Fundamentally, how we work has changed due to the pandemic. A lot of companies pivoted immediately to remote work and had to embrace some form of technology, whether it was really a benefit to their business or not. I think through the last 16 months, people have really seen what technology is really useful and is a time saver and actually improves their business operations. Conversely, on the flip side of that, a lot of people are seeing there are some aspects to a business and how it operates that are best performed in person. So through that lens, the design of the office space is changing. We're seeing choice and flexibility being the main two parameters in office design. To give you some examples, previous traditional office design included cubicle areas, private offices, conference rooms, and a reception, and maybe a small break area. Now we're seeing that people want a small Zoom room. People want small collaboration spaces. People want conference rooms that can support technology. So maybe half their workforce is at home and half is in the office, but they still need to integrate the teams together just due to personal preference and personal differences with safety. So, you know, in effect, office design is changing, and I can't look at it in a vacuum just looking at the space. I'm looking at how people are using technology, but also what are the policies for different businesses. And I think Robin can speak to this. How, you know, do you allow flexible work schedules? Do you allow people to work at different hours besides 9 to 5? So all of those aspects work in a kaleidoscope to create the future office environment.
Well, let's bring in Robin Throckmorton, president at Strategic HR. Robin, I read an article recently that got a lot of traction on social media referring to geriatric millennials being best equipped to lead offices after this pandemic. I fall into that category, I suppose, as a geriatric millennial. And this is to suggest that that is the generation best equipped to lead a hybrid workforce. Is this something that is going to become more common for us?
We are definitely probably in for a hybrid workforce, because if you look at all the numbers, there's a number of people that want to be back in the office and a number of people that want to be 100% remote. And, you know, you're not going to be able to make everyone happy. So that hybrid's probably going to be the best solution. Unfortunately, it's the harder one, most likely, because you have to pay attention to, like Emma was saying, how your office is set up to help aid in that collaboration when people are in the office, making sure they have the right tools to be able to collaborate when they're not in the office, and then really paying attention to productivity. So hybrid, when you're at home, you're very productive, but if you're missing out on the other people on the team to be able to collaborate with, to innovate, be creative, then it's going to be more challenge. So we're going to have to really work at how we create that engagement with employees, with how we structure the hybrid arrangement. All that said, I'm still seeing a lot of employers are saying we're going back. So there's a huge mix out there. And I think we'll see a lot of changes this coming year where people may try one way or the other. But the key is probably flexibility and maybe not be literally remote, hybrid, or in the office. It may get into hours. It may get into so many days a month. But just finding a way to be a little more flexible for employees to have work-life balance.
Robin, you note that people are starting to return. Companies are saying, we're coming back. We are starting to see more people here at Cincinnati Public Radio than we had before. This has been a relatively long time. It's been more than a year. So maybe in the beginning, it was challenging for people to adjust to remote work settings. But maybe by now, they've grown more comfortable with it, maybe even liking it. So what do you think are the long-term impacts of just the way we expect a job to work for us as the workers?
That's a great question. And I still think you're seeing a mix. So when you said everybody's comfortable with remote, I've seen the people running out the door going, oh my gosh, I'm allowed to go back to work. I'm allowed to get outside. I'm allowed to go to a restaurant. So I do think you're going to see a mix of those that really do want to get back and those that really have gotten comfortable. It's easier to manage at home. For me, I know I worked more hours when we were remote. Your office is right there all the time, so it's hard to walk away from it. So I think as employees, we're going to be looking for that flexibility to help us really, you know, have the perfect world. If we want to be at the office Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and remote Thursday, Friday, we have that option to do it, but we want to have a connection. I am seeing a lot of employers now opening up their recruiting, and they're recruiting not just for the offices, they're recruiting all over the country or even the world to try to fill some of their hard to fill jobs because they don't necessarily have to have the person in the office. So it gives them a little bit flexibility in recruiting. But again, I think we're going to see a lot of changes this coming year, and interesting how we'll get everybody back in the office at some level, or if we're just going to see, you know, this hybrid approach, because I think we're asking for a mix. We want our cake and we want to eat it too.
We're talking with Robin Throckmorton, president at Strategic HR, Emma Atkison, principal and director of design at PCA Architecture, and Dan Sink, the CEO of Corporex. Dan, you're an executive leading a large company based in Covington. You're headquartered there in the River Center Towers on the Covington Riverfront, a couple of buildings developed by your company. What did you learn as an executive, you know, leading an organization as it relates to remote work versus a presence in the office over the past year?
Yeah, I think it, you know, when we started, it was a challenge just trying to first of all, you wanted to make sure everybody was safe relative to, you know, employees, members at our clubs, staff, everybody had a safe environment. And I think, you know, that was number one. And you look at the business and you think, how are we going to manage this? And I think everybody, you know, when you look at disaster recovery type plans, I think everybody was tested. Are your systems working? Can people work from home? And is it going to be efficient? And I think for the most part, you know, we worked well in that environment, but we had so many projects going on. So we tried to do we gave like a red and green team as around, you know, to try to have folks in the office, whether which team they were on. And that helped, you know, in just limiting the folks that were in the office, but keeping folks here as well as at home so we could keep projects moving and keep communication and collaboration. I think that's the biggest thing as you look at that in the future is just trying to make sure that, you know, newer employees are, you know, feel like they're part of the culture, they can collaborate, be mentored. And I think that's going to be a key point. But there's going to be certain jobs, you know, as we've been discussing, that can be work remote and be very efficient. So I think it's the flexible environment that's critical.
Well, let's talk about the potential long-term impact to the type of work that Corporex does. We know you've got a lot of office buildings in the greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area. You're also obviously heavily engaged in the Ovation Riverfront Project in Newport, where the new music venue is, and a lot more expected to come. In that regards, is it now more of a challenge perhaps to construct something on spec? You know, or do you feel like you need to have a tenant attached to a project before you move forward?
No, it definitely is. In the office environment, you want to have a tenant to move forward. We are, you know, putting in some steel on the office building, about 100,000 square foot office building over at Ovation. But we want to make sure we've got a tenant locked in, and we've got activity in and around that project for, you know, to start off the construction. I think the hard part about that right now is that the cost of construction, steel and lumber are very expensive. So that's the part that is, you know, delaying things, and people are like trying to rerun numbers, make sure the project, you can underwrite the projects based off the construction cost today.
Let's talk about the relationships that are built at work. These are our second families in a lot of ways. We, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, we might see our coworkers more than our family, depending on the type of work that we're in. So you do develop this closeness. And I'd like to address this question to both Emma and Robin. Starting with Robin, you know, what do we expect moving forward from those types of relationships? Is it something that has to be considered when bringing people back into the office and creating the workspace to ensure that you're building a team that works well together, that respects one another, and that builds professional relationships together?
It definitely does have to be considered, because those relationships are really what puts together the foundation of your culture and the engagement of your team. So being out of the office for the last year, we've seen a lot of people get more disconnected. We've seen some people even go from, you know, interviewing to onboarding to working and never meet a person face to face. So creating those relationships has definitely been challenged by being remote with some organizations, and getting us back in the office, you may have a whole new office. You know, if they've had any downsizing, the team is going to look different. Things that have happened to people and transpired in the last year puts priorities and things different. So you almost, you know, people are going to be excited to be back together and building those relationships again, but it is going to feel different than it has before, especially for any organization that had people out of the office for a good part of it, because technology can't connect you just the same as shouting over the cube or standing and talking in the break room or, you know, just standing up and having a casual conversation about something. So we're definitely going to see some rekindling of relationships. But again, people running out going, we can get out. We're allowed to see each other. And you know, I don't know if it'll be a fist bump still or if it'll be a hug, but I think we'll see a lot of fist bumps and handshakes more than we've seen in the last 16 months.
Yeah, and Emma, you talked a bit about how important technology is becoming in new office design so that people can connect to remote conversations and interactions. But as far as working in the workspace, what is important in the design to make sure that there are interpersonal communications taking place during the day? We might not see those large open office floor plans that we might have had in the past, but how do you take this into consideration while designing?
Yeah, there's no one size fits all approach. In tandem with what Dan was saying, you know, we want to see a tenant, we want to see a business, we want to understand what their mission is. How do each of the people in their company work the best? How do they thrive? How do they do their best work? And a lot of that is centered around employee engagement and employee happiness. 2020 was one of the most stressful years on record. And I cannot say enough just how important it is for employers to recognize that. Think about health and well-being, and how can you incorporate spaces into your office that encourage connection, encourage employee engagement, encourage, people to move their bodies throughout the day, that encourage, little sidebar conversations. All of these things create engagement, which in the end produces very productive, very happy employees. And part of that is what generates the culture of your office. That's what's going to attract talent and help you retain talent and help support the people that you do have on your team right now.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking today about office life as the pandemic starts to ease and more people return to the workplace physically. And what could offices look like in the future as we fully emerge from COVID? We're joined today by Robin Throckmorton, President of Strategic HR, Emma Atkison, Principal and Director of Design at PCA Architecture, and Dan Sink, the CEO of CorporeX. Robin, what's important at this point for organizations to consider as they bring people back in? Obviously, we have to consider the health implications and consider where we might be on a given month with relation to the pandemic. But what's important about ensuring people are just comfortable being around others again?
I think the biggest thing we need to do, one, is ask them, talk to them. I know throughout COVID, communication had become paramount. I know I've always said, you can never over-communicate. Well, you needed to over-communicate in the last year. I know the organizations that we work with that were maybe doing weekly video calls from the CEO, one-on-one touches out to the employees. Those are really keeping the employees engaged and comfortable and felt like they were being heard. So coming back in the workforce again, whether it's remote, hybrid, or in the office, is that communication is going to be important to make sure people are aware of what's going on and what's happening, but involve them, involve them in the solution. They want the business to succeed because that gives them a job, and many of them are working because they're passionate about it. So they're going to have options and ideas to help the business succeed in whatever setup you end up doing. And then as an employer, as the leadership team, you really have got to be constantly communicating, thanking them for the feedback, those types of things, to really continue to get the buy-in from the employees and keep that engagement high, like Emma was saying, to be all sure that you can keep all the employees you have and also attract new ones.
Dan, can I ask you how CorporeX is handling this, as I imagine people will be returning to the offices?
Yeah, we came back in and folks are coming back in now. And we, I think communication is the key, making sure that, and with COVID, you not only had problems at the office, not issues at the office, but you're concerned about, folks coming back in and being comfortable, but you also had daycare issues. You've had, aging parents. So there are a lot of complications. So I think one key thing is you got to be flexible and listen. And if somebody has an extenuating circumstance where life happens, you need to listen to them and say, hey, look, you need to deal with the family, and then we'll be here when you get that taken care of. So from that perspective, communication is key. And that's how we're trying to just understand, in and around if there's circumstances that folks need additional flexibility.
Emma, I know you're in architecture, but I understand that your original educational background is in psychology. Can you talk a little bit about how that factors in this part of the conversation where people are coming back to work and might be timid or unsure how to re-socialize?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think we have to really understand levels of our humanity, our number one drive to connect, to be accepted into a group. A lot of people don't go to work just for the paycheck. They go to be attached to a mission and a vision, to have meaning in their life, to connect and engage with other people. And through the use of really thoughtful design, we can create moments that inspire connection. We can create spaces that have natural light and views, which are known to kind of dampen some of those stressors in the brain, to bring down cortisol, to bring it all down, to allow people to be more productive, but also happier and engaged, which is what we all want as employers.
As we wind down, let me ask all of you this simple question, starting with you, Robin. What are you most looking forward to as things start to return to normal in a workplace?
Wow, that is a good question. There are so many things I'd love. Just being able to get out of the house and go to dinner, go to an FC Cincinnati game. Those types of things I think will really not only put me personally, but I think we'll see that in the satisfaction and the mental health of our employees and coworkers, just simply because we're all under that stress of whether it's being at home, coming in the office, it's just created a lot for us. So being able to have the summer coming up and have some of that opportunity to get out and not be as concerned and worried about it, I think it's going to help us all.
Emma, how about you?
I'm looking forward to seeing people's faces. I'm looking forward to, you know, being able to really read a room, to be able to hug my friends. I think everyone misses humanity.
And Dan, are you missing humanity?
I think, yeah, the you know, having the company functions, whether it's cocktail parties after work or getting together as a group or going in when you're trying to win business, the face-to-face meetings mean everything. So I think that if that's missing humanity, yes, I'm missing humanity.
I am also missing humanity, and I'm looking forward to those cocktails as well. Dan Sink is the CEO of Corporex. Emma Atkison is the principal and director of design at PCA Architecture. And Robin Throckmorton is president of strategic HR. Robin, Emma, Dan, thanks to all of you for the time you gave us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.